Hello and welcome back to another episode of Baby Steps, the first steps to understanding the paradox of parenting, education, and everything to do with children. I remain as your host, Danielle Ochieng, and I am so glad that you have stuck with me through this year. It's almost coming to an end. So before I start, I think this time we'll start with drum rolls. It's time for another Did You Know fact. So this episode ties to last episode. So the Did You Know fact is that, did you know that strict parents can turn their kids into more effective liars because children who are afraid to tell the truth learn more deceptive behaviors to avoid getting in trouble? Okay, this ties to a lot of episodes, previous episodes, but this comes into today's episode, which is Spare the Child. And it's just a connection actually from last week's, which was The Rod and the Child, which was influenced greatly, largely fully influenced by the Bible verse of spare the rod and spoil the child. And today we are just going to talk about sparing the child, not the rod, but sparing the child. Why? Because I'm asking, like, if you haven't listened to last time's episode, please do. But why spare the child is because we talked about how beating, caning the rod actually has more negative effects in the long run and short run for kids than does other methods of discipline. And so by the firstly, I need to thank both my silent and active listeners. I really appreciate you standing with me. And despite things falling apart due to COVID, you guys have really stood by me and I'm grateful for that. So like I mentioned in my previous episode about the rod and the child, it was basically about the rod. Lol. So caning or beating a child as a consequence for their sins. Okay, I use the sin word here very lightly because the topic was got from the Bible. So please don't stone me. So it was just like a correlation. So please calm down, hold the stones. Yeah, thank you. And I also asked at the end of last episode for what alternate discipline methods that people use and if the rod is still a must-have for you. And not surprisingly, a good number did say that, imagine, Danielle, there is no way the rod is getting out of my house. Like, this is routine check. I'm African and it's just part of it. And I mean, ultimately, the heavens did bless you as stewards of your children. So I'm just a girl behind a microphone who adores children and loves to share what she learns about them. Also, by the way, I will not dispute what for people who choose to stay with the rod, because children are different. That's something I need to emphasize. What I mean is that some children work very well with minimum structuring and ordering and instructions and do this and don't do this. Some people, kids will listen once and that is it, because they will now do because they know what's required of them. You've told them this is what should be done, this is what should not be done. And then there's just some who just need more times of being repeated for stuff and just more strictness to adhere to the norms, and not strictness in terms of beating. And this is largely because of personality types. And speaking of personality types, you need to look at your child and see if this was you when you're growing up. Oh my goodness. Why am I saying this? I think also because my mom has mentioned quite a number of times how sometimes she sees me in her and she's like, that's why I was correcting this behavior. Okay, I wasn't beaten much per se when I was growing up. Simply because for me, words really get to me. So if my parent would like, Danielle, up when I'm in trouble, I'm already coming to you with tears. And which would piss my mom off even further when I was a child, because like, I'm not even touched you yet and you're crying. You know, so whenever people would say things, those would get to me. So I'd be told stuff and I think I can count basically how many times I was beaten, because I think I listened. I'm quite tough-headed. I'm not going to refuse that. I've been working on it. But I don't think my mom beat me that often. Though, like, if you compare the four of us, no, leave alone my youngest sister, compare the three of us, because we grew up in very close proximity, about 2 years at most apart from each other, it's actually my big brother who was least beat, because his personality, he's introverted. He's a lot like my dad. You know, not like as deeply introverted as my dad, but he's a lot like my dad in terms of his personality. So he's quite introverted. Doesn't like conflict, doesn't like... So he rarely got into trouble and never got beaten. He was the most beaten. Did it work? I don't know. I know, I think maybe Jesus is what worked for him. But anyway, back to it. So For my small brother, strictness and harshness at work. Like, you just had to be very stern with him. For my big brother was just tell him and he's going to do it because he just doesn't want conflict and wants everybody to be at peace. I don't think that's how he is right now. People grow. But yeah, I think you get my point. And let me just get back to the episode. So that being said, people shared the alternative discipline methods that they use with their children, either completely minus beating or sometimes with occasional beating. So as I go through them, I'm hoping you pick on some and try them out with your child if you aren't already practicing them and just see how effective they work. And remember, it's not a one-size-fits-all. And more often than not, you will have to use a combination of some. And also, before I move on to the alternatives, I think it's important to put a reminder that when we beat, especially young children, for mistakes, they wonder why it is okay for you to beat them, yet it's not okay for them to beat their siblings when the siblings do the same thing. Because, like I said in the previous episode and other episodes I've talked about, is that children will learn to equate anger, being angered or irritated by somebody, with the need to beat them, because you beat them when they anger or irritate you. So they'll copy the habit and do the same to their siblings or their friends or classmates. So you see the same habit being copied in classrooms. For those of us who be in classrooms and interact with children for a lot, we see these habits being repeated. And they're picked from the home, nowhere else. And also from the TV, but mainly from the home. So now moving on, the most common actually received was, from what you people shared, was withdrawal of privileges. So many parents say that when their young child or teenager refused to cooperate or they showed disrespect or they wouldn't do their chores or duties for the day, they took away privileges like watching TV, going out with friends, certain kinds of snacks, and so on. And they said it actually usually was very effective, not always, but most of the time. Nobody wants their favorite thing or favorite activity to be denied of them, so they most likely want to correct their behavior. Like, unless on another extreme level of what we call ODD in terms of behavior, and that's oppositional defiant behavior. Or an oppositional defiant disorder. So they completely defy everything by whatever strength they have in their body. So unless at that level, most people do not want, so they don't want these privileges to be taken away. Another thing is positive reinforcement for good behavior. Why I personally think this is something very important is because we tend to ignore the importance of it, because we are prone to focus a lot on what's being done wrong and not what our children do right, which actually really hurts. Because, like, imagine you working for a boss who constantly, or being with a partner who constantly criticizes your work and never realizes or points out when you do something good. It hurts, right? Like, it sucks big time. It's the same thing for kids. I will keep insisting that children are people too. So point out when they do something right, and they will most likely want to keep getting your approval, because kids love to get the approval of their parents. That's why we have men in their 50s and women in their 50s still looking for the approval of deadbeat dads. Okay, and also deadbeat moms, because they are there. Or abusive, or parents who ignored them, because you just want that approval. Even when you're 18, you never got it, it still hurts. So it's the same thing. Let's also learn to reinforce good behavior, not just pick out the bad, because when you focus on the bad, it discourages the kid or the teenager. And they're like, I might as well. And every time I do something good, it's never recognized. But the moment I do something as much as sneeze, and all of a sudden hell breaks loose. So it's very, very important to use that positive reinforcement. So I also need to emphasize, don't make them praise junkies. And what I mean by is they should not be addicted to praise, because now they won't be doing good, not good stuff, normal things, because there are certain things that they should be doing that you should not always praise. Oh, you were nice. You didn't hit your brother today. Well done. High five. Excuse me. It's normal behavior, human behavior, not to hit your sibling. But when you keep praising them, they'll be like, huh, not beating them is an extraordinary behavior, you know. But it's not. We want them also to learn that this is normal human behavior. So don't make them praise junkies. Another thing is selectively ignoring bad behavior. This one I got a lot from parents with very young children. Those who especially throw tantrums, you know. Why I say selective is because a child could be doing something that's dangerous or appropriate. We can't just ignore it unless they harm themselves or others. you know. But if it's something like whining or tantrums, just ignore them. Imagine they don't die. Just ignore them. They will eventually learn that it's not getting your attention and they will find better ways to communicate with you. Selective ignoring doesn't work, by the way, with children who have always felt ignored throughout their life. If they've never felt that they've ever got your attention or deserved or got good attention from you, it's always because they've done something wrong. This selective ignoring will not stop. They will keep just doing the wrong behavior until they get your attention. But if they've got positive attention from you before in the past, and then they see they're doing this thing and it's not getting your attention, they will realize, I have to change this thing and find a better way to get daddy or mommy's attention. But also, ultimately, I say, always find out why a child is behaving a certain way. You know, bad behavior is usually a call for attention. Either a deficit that they're feeling, you know, whether in terms of love, care, or attention, or some issue they're going through and are just can't express it, or we probably have not had the time to talk with them or find out what's doing in their life. So, or they've gone through some certain kind of abuse. So it's just them trying to communicate. So always find out, why are they behaving like this? Is it a deficit? Is there something bad happening to them? Is there something wrong being done to them? And deal with that first. Then you get, it's a root, dealing with the root instead of just dealing with the fruits. Yeah. And for younger children, especially, I say, is teach emotional regulation and other skills that will help them learn to respond and behave better. Because many times, especially for young children, they just don't know how to respond to certain negative emotions like frustration or anger or bitterness or resentment. So they throw tantrums or do something like that or hurt somebody. Because I'll keep saying, when kids know better, they will do better. A two-year-old who does not know how to communicate. Okay, let me just go back. A toddler, an infant, when they cry, you don't beat an infant up. I mean, unless you're mentally ill, like you're not okay. But nobody beats up an infant, you know, 0 to like 12 months. You don't beat up an infant when they start crying. You're going to check, are they hungry? I feed them. Are they tired? I rock them to sleep. Have they messed? Like, is their diaper full? I change them. Are they sick? I naturally treat them or take them to the hospital. You find what the issue is to deal with it. So they're crying. You're not going to equate their crying with bad behavior. You equate it with a need. Same thing with younger children. As they get into toddlerhood and early childhood and middle childhood, help them learn how to regulate their behavior. If a child is screaming or crying for something, why are they doing it? Are they hungry? Sometimes you're feeding them and it's not that. They just need you to sing a song with them, read a book with them, you know, play a game with them, even if it's for 10, 15 minutes and they're done and they're okay with it. Find out, are they sad? Maybe the sibling has done something that has pissed them off. Help them deal with that emotion, because they don't know how to deal with. They're two, they have, or they're three, they have a one-year-old sibling who just grabbed their toys. They don't know how to deal with that anger. They don't even know what they're feeling. They just know that this is an uncomfortable feeling and my reaction is maybe to hit my sibling or grab it back or God knows what they do. But when you teach them, this is what I see, you're feeling angry that, let's say, your younger sibling, Danielle, has taken your toy away. But instead of hurting her, how about we talk to her? And since she's younger, let's see if we can find something else. And when she's done, you can play with it. Just help them learn to manage their emotions, because even we get angry and don't know how to manage our own. Another thing is setting consequences. And I think I need to emphasize that they need to be logical with their behavior, right? So if they refuse to eat their food, it's not now you can't go out and play with your kids, or they just say like, okay, they usually have snacks. You can't have your snack and you refuse to eat your food and that is done. The behavior, that's what you did. This is going to be the consequence. You know, you've not done your homework. You're not going to have TV for the next 2 days because you spent your time watching the TV instead of these logical consequences. And ultimately also set clear rules and expectations for your child. If a one-year-old breaks a glass and you beat the life out of them, okay, I don't mean death like to that point, but I think you get my point, is they don't know why you're beating them. It was something that at a stage where that exploration, it broke, they liked the sound maybe, or maybe they got startled because of the way you reacted, and then you beat them and they don't get it. But if you tell them that glasses are not supposed to be broken, as they grow, they will understand that's a set rule and expectation in this home. They won't break it again. And also just keep the glasses away from them. I mean, they're 1, 2 years old. They're bound to get broken. So if punishment comes, you also need to set the consequences, especially for kids who are able to understand. But even the young ones, believe in me, they understand. At 1 year, you do this. Because when they do wrong things, you will see a toddler, even at 6, 7, 8 months, look at you and they do something. Because they know. So when these consequences that they know of, well, let's say we communicate them, they will know when the punishment comes, it's not negotiable. You knew this was a punishment that was going to come. And as much as we want to correct behavior, which is very important, we also want to live by the saying prevention is better than cure. Meaning, looking at the broader perspective of why we discipline children, I know we don't do it to hurt them, but to correct behavior. And I think we also need to keep that in mind. We also do it because we want them to make better choices and become good citizens and respectful of people and property. So that even when it's hard to think of this moment, like in the actual moment, I'll emphasize the need of us as adults calming before we react. You learn to respond instead of react and ask ourselves, is this going to help my child make a better decision in the future, or is this going to build resentment? And like I talked about in the previous episode, just makes it worse. If your answer is yes, it's going to make them make a better decision, then go ahead. But if you say no, then try another method that achieves this. And as I was saying, the prevention is better than cure. The first ever episode I did, I talked about first comes love, because it's the foundation of everything. The Bible, for God so loved, that is where it goes. I will love and hold you. All these romantic songs, everything is basically about love or lack thereof. So I'd like to encourage us to spend quality time with our children, which is actually very different from us devoting every second of our time with them. But it means making sure that the time you have with them, even if it's just 15 minutes, is very meaningful. This has actually proved to reduce problematic behavior, which, as I said, is usually just a call for attention. Because when a child or a teenager, because we tend to ignore and feel like they're growing or they're just being stubborn, when they feel loved, valued, and cared for, they're less likely to misbehave, since their basic need for love and belonging has been met. Psychology and science prove that it's a basic human need, love and belonging. They feel that they're less likely to misbehave. And when they're expressing their frustrations through something like tantrums, or they're screaming, or your teenager is rolling eyes, or God knows whatever, ask yourself, how would you want to be treated if you were them, or in their situation, or when you were their age? If this was what you're going through, you've gone through it before, how would you have wanted to be treated? And do that for them. If it's love, if it's talking to them, just show them empathy for their feelings, that you understand what they're going through. Regardless of age, when your teenager is upset over something, tell them that you can see they're frustrated and ask them if they want to talk about it now or later. Just form a habit of bonding with them and let that later actually come to pass. But ultimately, always reassure your child that you love them and you're proud of their achievements, no matter how small. It's a really, really amazing feeling.
To date, I
feel really good when either my mom or my dad, with my big age, would tell me, oh, mommy, I'm proud of you. You know, you've done a good job at this. Oh, I like how you're doing this. It feels good. And we never get, and it's not as if words of affirmation is my love language. No, it's time. But when those words of affirmation come once in a while, it feels really good, especially from our parents, more than it does from anybody else. And get to know who your child or teenager really is. What do they love to do? And find time to engage in those activities together, completely away from distractions like the TV, phones, and any other, or other people. Just one-on-one time. Let's teach them the truth in love, because I am sure the reward of a loving bond with your children, even when we are 100 and they are like 80, will never be matched. So let's not ruin it by overly caning them, especially in anger. The Bible does affirm that a gentle answer turns away wrath. And it also says in Colossians 3:21, fathers, why I'm quoting this one is because we are constantly giving the commandments of children, obey your fathers and your parents in the Lord. This one goes to fathers / mothers, Colossians 3:21. Though it does say fathers, usually maybe I think they're the most angry human beings. I don't know, because maybe we've not let men deal, boys deal with their emotions. But anyway, fathers, I also include mothers, do not aggravate your children or they will become discouraged. and life is already difficult. We don't need the discouragement coming from home and everywhere else in the world. And I think that perfectly sums it all up for today's episode. So if you have any questions, comment, or anything related to children, you can hit me up on my email, babystepsbyd@gmail.com. D is D-double-E, so babystepsbyd@gmail.com. Thank you for all your input. Bye.